Tonight and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This morning we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Tonight we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Reading verses 15 through 24. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 15, the Bible says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time tonight. Lord, just as you did this morning, we ask that you guide us according to your will. Father, help us to have ears to hear that soft, still voice. Lord, as you speak to our hearts, I pray our hearts would be guided by you. Lord, would you establish our thoughts this evening? Father, I ask that your will would be accomplished. I pray, Father, that you would continue to magnify yourself in the lives of your people. We would continue to lift up Christ, and we would continue to be drawn unto you. Thank you, Father, for being faithful to us. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When you look at verse number 24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." That is probably the greatest attribute of God, is the fact that he's faithful. Several things we talked about this morning in the morning service, and one of them was the fact that we've been saved from hell. We've been given a new life in Christ, and kind of thinking about that this morning brought me to some of these verses tonight, and specifically verse 24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." I love to be reminded of God's faithfulness, not just the fact he's always there, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but the fact he's faithful in all that he does. And because he's faithful, verse 18 of this chapter demands our attention because of God's faithfulness, even because of the peace that we have to Jesus Christ. When you look at verse 23, before we get to verse 18, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'm glad that that is faithful as well, that Jesus Christ is coming again. But verse 18 is where I want to look at tonight for the majority of this time. And that is, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When you think about the end of the chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is giving exhortations to the believers there at Thessalonica, kind of giving some last-minute encouragement, last-minute exhortations, in some cases even last-minute commands that they are to do these things, but verse 18, I believe more importantly, giving thanks to God in everything because of his faithfulness to us, because we have a Savior who's returning again. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So very briefly tonight, just talking to us about living with a thankful heart because of the faithfulness of God. Living with a thankful heart because of the faithfulness of God. Again, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks." And these are verses that we're familiar with. This is obviously one of the verses that we will sing right before Sunday school on a Sunday at different times. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So God gives us a command that we are to give thanksgiving in everything. We're to be thankful in everything. Some things are easier to be thankful for than other things. But God says in everything, because I believe with thanksgiving comes joy. And we kind of talked about that this morning. Having joy in the Lord and not allowing the devil to steal our joy. When you have the proper thanksgiving and you're living with a heart that is thankful, your heart will be filled with joy because we're reminded of the faithfulness of God. Look at Psalm 146. Psalm 146, because at no time are we to stop being thankful to the Lord. And I believe when we keep our salvation at the forefront of our mind, that will always help us to remain thankful because we're reminded of what God has done for us and what God has redeemed us from and what God has saved us from. Chapter 146. Look at verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Now is the time for us to be thankful to the Lord. Now is the time for us to rejoice in God's faithfulness and to be thankful for all that God does for us. In another place, David says it in this way. He says, shall his blood praise the Lord? Shall the dust praise the Lord? He talks about, you know, now while we're living is the time to be thankful because God is the Father who gives those perfect gifts, those gifts that come down from the Father of lights. But while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. It is what helps us to get through any given day, to be thankful to the Lord, to be reminded of his faithfulness, to be reminded that the Lord is our joy. He is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our salvation. We can rejoice in the Lord. When Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he's encouraging them, but also kind of, you know, commanding them to be thankful in everything. In everything, we are to be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. And we're to do it with our livelihood, and we're to do it with our lips. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, as we think about giving thanks continually with our lips. Now, we could go to the book of James, and James talks about the tongue and talks about, compares it to waters, a fountain that does not bring forth sweet and bitter water, but yet our tongues often will complain instead of giving thanks to the Lord. I should say complain more than giving thanks to the Lord. It really should be the other way around. In Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. At any given moment, you're going to be around somebody who has a negative attitude, someone who has negative comments, someone who's not thankful, someone who just, you know, everything is just, you know, bad. It's just, you know, they're negative in the way that they think. And the Holy Spirit wants us to be thankful. The devil wants us to be gripped with the attitude, the spirit of unthankfulness. But the longer that I live, and I'm not that old, I'm very young, I realize I'm not as thankful as I should be. And when I think about the life that God's given me, I think about everything that God's done for me, and how he has spared my life multiple times, what is it that deserves my complaining? God deserves my thankfulness for all that he's done for me. And I believe in the days that we're living in, we need to be more thankful for what God has done and is doing so that we will have a better perspective on life. Again, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." It's an amazing thing that he equates praise as a sacrifice. Sometimes we don't look at that as a sacrifice. I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. Keep a finger in 1 Thessalonians, but go back to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, in verse number 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. That is where we give God our entire life. Not just the pieces of our life that we want God to have, but all of it. And one is our praise. One is our thankfulness that we are to sacrifice to God, as Hebrews says, the sacrifice of praise. It is a form of worship, to be thankful, to have this thankful heart. Again, he goes on, even in Romans 12, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." He says there, it's our reasonable service to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and it's also our reasonable service to always have a thankful heart towards God in everything in our life, because, again, God's faithful, God's good. Every gift that comes from God is good. Everything God allows in our life is for our good. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Renewing of our mind, that's changing our thinking. That's having a biblical thinking, thinking clearly, thinking correctly. And that is, you know what? I need to have a thankful heart towards the Lord. Now, we would think, well, I'm always thankful for what the Lord does. But what if he doesn't do anything? What if from this moment on he does not do another thing for us? We still need to be thankful for what he's already done. Because I believe he's done a lot already in the lives of his people. Again, as we talked about just salvation a little bit this morning, just that moment, think about that moment in your life that the Lord Jesus came into your life and came into your heart and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And you think about, what does that mean? The fact that he paid the penalty, he saved us from the wrath to come. He paid the penalty for our sin, but we also have peace with God and we've been saved from the wrath to come. We're not going to face the wrath of God. We're not going to face the second death, as Revelation calls the second death, when the dead are resurrected and they stand before the judgment seat of God, the great white throne judgment of God, and they're condemned. We as his children, we get to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards for the life that we've lived for him. Like, is it? He's prepared a great life for us, and he deserves our thanksgiving. And I believe when we have that thankful heart, it helps us to be more joyous, but with our lips. Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What comes out of our mouth more? And that's something each of us have to analyze our own life. What is it that comes out of our life, our mouth more? Is it thanksgiving to God, or is it complaints for what is happening in our life? With our lips, we are to continually give thanksgiving to the Lord, and with our livelihood. Look, if you would, if you still have a finger in Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Verse 16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." It says, "But to do good and to communicate. Communicate is to give. Forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." God is well pleased when we communicate with him our thankfulness. The Philippians communicated with Paul their thankfulness for how he was an influence in their life. In Philippians 4:15, Paul says this of the Philippians, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only." Remember, the church at Philippi sent some things to Paul that he needed, not that he requested it, but they wanted to communicate their love and their thankfulness to Paul and what Paul had done for them, and they met some need that he had. Again, God wants us to communicate with him our thankfulness. We can have a thankful heart, but it needs to come out of our lips and out of our mouth. Our hearts, if our hearts are truly full of thankfulness to the Lord, we will sing his praises. We will thank him with our lips, and our life will show it. We will show it to the Lord, and we will give our sacrifices to the Lord, whatever God asks for us to do, because he is a faithful God, and he calls for us to be thankful for everything. Now listen, I know there are things in life that it's hard to be thankful for, but you can thank God, "Thank you, Lord, for giving me the grace to endure what I'm enduring. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to be able to overcome what you have allowed in my life. Thank you for the victory that I have in Jesus Christ, because it's our faith that gives us our victory," the Bible tells us. "And thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to me every second of my life, because faithful is he that calleth you and he that will do it." I want you to look at James chapter 1 as we think about, and we do need to be thankful continually, but it also needs to be unconditional. We don't need to have conditions linked to our thankfulness to our faithful God. Again, when you just think about what God has done for you already, and you think about what he has prepared for you, as we get closer to the return of Christ, we need to get closer to the Lord and not further away. And the best way to get closer to the Lord, again, is to think about all that he's done for you and to be thankful for it. Everything that my wife does for me, I'm thankful for. And it helps me to draw closer to her because we're in a relationship. The relationship of a Christian to their Savior, I believe, is a lot stronger and should be a lot stronger than that. That, you know what? Again, he doesn't have to do anything. The Lord doesn't have to do anything else for me. He's already done so much, and what he's done should draw us to him. I think sometimes God's people get, say, anybody in here, just saying, sometimes God's people forget just what God has done. And the fact that the life that you have right now is the life he wants to show himself great and mighty in. And he wants us to rely upon him. He wants us to be thankful continually and unconditionally for everything he has done, everything he will do. When you look at James chapter 1, if you're there at verse 17, I've kind of referenced it a few times, but it says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. You know, God doesn't give any bad gifts. Have you ever got a gift for your birthday or for Christmas or even for an anniversary that you really didn't like? I'll tell on myself. I don't know if I've ever told this before, but was it your birthday? I don't even remember, Sandra. And you know what I'm thinking about. What was it? It was your birthday. It was our birthday. It was her birthday, but, you know, it was our birthday. I went and picked her out, I thought, this perfect gift. Blue sweatshirt. Blue sweatshirt. And I thought, you know what? Blue's her favorite color. She'll like it. But in reality, I was buying it for myself because I knew she wouldn't like it. It was a blue sweatshirt. And sure enough, I showed it to her. She didn't like it. I said, "Well, can I have it? Can I wear it?"
Now, I was young, early 20s. I've learned since then that if you buy a gift for someone, you buy it for them, not for you. All right? So, I mean, you know, sometimes you may have gotten a gift that really wasn't for you or you really didn't like, but God always gives his best to you and to me. Now, sometimes we may not think it is, but God does. God doesn't do anything wrong. Everything God does is good, and every gift that comes from him is perfect, it says. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's love for you and me is unconditional, and our thankfulness to him should be unconditional. Again, if, let's just say, you know, you get a flat tire. What's the first response? Why? Usually that's the first response. Why? Why now? Now, if we will look through, and again, sometimes it's easier said than done, but if we'll look through spiritual eyes, Lord, help me to see through spiritual eyes why I should be thanking you for a flat tire. Because again, what is the word in it, what does the word everything mean? Does it mean certain things, or does it mean all things? Everything. In everything, give thanks. Because you know what? That flat tire might have just saved your life from an accident up the road. You never know. There's been so many times where I know that God has spared me from an accident. Again, there was this one time where just, I know I was praying and just, you know, when you, sometimes when you're not focused, you just don't see things. And it was at the last split second I saw the hind end of a deer going across in front of the car. I didn't even have a chance to slam on the brakes or anything. All I could do is say, thank you, Lord, because I sure didn't see that. And if you've ever hit a deer, it's no fun. If you ever had a deer hit you, it's no fun. I've had a couple of deer run into the side of the vehicle and all that stuff, and it's not fun. But you know what? Again, we have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see everything through spiritual eyes. Help me to have that thankful heart, because I want to praise you unconditionally. Somebody once said, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer but richer for having made it. Somebody else said, it is far more important to pray with a sense of the greatness of God than with a sense of the greatness of the problem. And again, that's having the heart of a thankful heart that, you know what, I am thankful that my God is bigger than this situation. I'm thankful that my God is bigger than what I'm facing. Never lose sight of how big your God is. The Israelites lost sight. Not all of them. Thankfully, Joshua and Caleb, they didn't lose sight of how big their God was. But the other 8 spies, or the other 10 spies and the rest of the Israelites, they lost sight. They thought the giants were bigger than their God. I'm glad, again, when you go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Thank you, Lord, that I know since you brought me to it, you'll bring me through it, and you'll give me the ability to accomplish what it is you're wanting me to accomplish or to learn in this situation. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. In James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the focus is Jesus Christ, is the Lord, is his faithfulness. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been frustrated? Frustrated to the point of giving up? You ever been frustrated to the point of giving up on God? Sometimes people get to that place because they lose sight of who God is. They lose sight of what God's already done for them. They lose sight of what God has prepared for them. They lose sight of the fact that, wait, the Spirit of God dwells within me. I'm not deserving of that, but I sure can be thankful that, you know what? The Lord truly is faithful in all that he does, and he is faithful in my life. Look, if you would, back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Because it says, in everything give thanks. The second part he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will. This morning, I even made the statement that in the center, it might have been in Sunday school, I don't remember, but in the center of God's will is the safest place to be, even if it is in the midst of a storm like Peter found himself. It's the safest place to be, because who's there in that storm with you? Your faithful God. So whatever it is that God has for us, whatever his will is, it is the safest place to be, and we can give thanks because it's God's will. God deserves for his people to have a thankful heart in all that we do. In Psalm 107, look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and look at, we'll start at verse 1. The psalmist here writes, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." You know what? If there's nothing else we can thank the Lord for, be thankful for, we can be thankful he's good. When has God ever not been good? You'll never be able to think of a moment he's never been good. He's been good from the beginning of your life, and he will continue to be good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's that? That's you, that's me, every single person who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know what? I'm having a bad day, but I can thank the Lord that I am no longer in the clutches of the devil. I'm no longer bound by sin, headed to hell. But I've been set free. I have the liberty now to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives me the ability to continue following him. He helps me to be able to accomplish his will in my life, but I've got to remain that living sacrifice. I've got to continue being that sacrifice that says, Lord, here am I. That living sacrifice is the fact that, Lord, here's my life. Use it as you will. Lord, help me to fulfill your will. What is your will for me, Lord? And his will is for us to be thankful. Well, I'll be thankful when I have $1 million, when I win the lottery. You'll never win the lottery. I wanted to win the lottery. I wanted to win it so bad when I was in my younger years before walking with the Lord that I went and I bought, I don't even know how many tickets it was. I kept going back in because you only get one at a time. I kept going back in. I didn't win anything. I wasted $7 because it was $1 a ticket. Because you know what? That's not what God's will is. And I've learned since then that he supplies all my need. If I need money, he'll supply it. If I need food, he'll supply it. But what he wants is for us to faithfully follow him. What he wants is for us to faithfully trust him. What he wants is for us to be living in God's will. Lord, what is your will for my life? And he will show it, because God wants us to be in his will. Sometimes, and I won't stay here long, but sometimes it's in a storm. We see that in Scripture, Peter and the others. Sometimes it's walking with him. My mind always goes back to Enoch. Enoch had a wonderful relationship with the Lord. Just walking with him one day, and the Lord just kind of translates him, the Bible says, from this world to the next, from this life to the next. Could you imagine what that would have been, just walking with the Lord, enjoying the day, and all of a sudden the dirt road turns into the golden streets of heaven? One day it'll be like that. Most of it, yeah, all of us in here, we have homes. Does your home ever need repairs? Does anything break down in your home? For me, it's always, it seems like the dishwasher, the washing machine, the dryer, the things that are used the most. My dishwasher, my washing machine, and dryer is probably used more than anybody else in here because of the size of our family. I can't tell you how many washing machines and dryers we've gone through over the years. But I can be thankful when it breaks. Lord, thank you, there's not a washing machine in heaven. You might say, well, how do you know that? Because we're robed in the righteousness of Christ. We have those white robes. What I'm saying is, we can always find something to be thankful for when we're faced with something that maybe breaks. But living in God's will is living with a thankful heart, because that is God's will. Again, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Be thankful, and I know that you are, but continue to be thankful that you're no longer a child of the devil. You're no longer in his clutches. You're no longer walking in darkness. You're walking in the light of Christ. You're now the children of God. You have been given the power to become the sons of God. Look at Psalm 100. We went to Psalm 100 this morning, but go and look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, just look at verses 4 and 5. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. When you look at those verses, obviously we're commanded to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. One of the great things about coming to church at any given time, it gets us out of the world for an hour. It gets us out of the rat race. It gets us away from whatever it is we have to deal with. Because when we come into the house of the Lord, our focus is on the Lord. We're reminded of his goodness. We're reminded of his faithfulness. We're reminded of the joy of the Lord. And we're reminded that, you know what? I can have thanksgiving because I'm entering into the courts. I'm entering into the presence of the one who has full control of my heart, the one who has full control of my life, the one that is good, as verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You can be thankful that God is good. You can be thankful that his mercy is everlasting, and the fact that the truth of his word endureth to all generations. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Think about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, his unspeakable gift, that gift that just keeps on giving. Again, we are living in a day and age where people are not thankful. There are more people that gripe and complain than they do giving praises. But God's people should always be giving praises to the Lord. We should always be thankful to the Lord. It is a sacrifice. God counts it as a sacrifice as we have those thankful hearts. And as we have the thankful hearts, we have thankful mouths as we speak the praises of his name. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says this again. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What is fruit? Think about, you know, an apple tree. How do you know it's an apple tree? Because there's apples on it. How do you know it's a pear tree? Because there's pears on it. How do you know it's a pecan tree? Because there's pecans. Actually, there's pecan pie on that tree. When I see a pecan tree, that's what I see. I see what it can be. But again, the fruit is what is produced by the tree. What does our heart produce? What is it that comes out of our mouth the most? It should be praises to God because there's thankfulness in our heart. Living in the center of God's will is living with a thankful heart. Again, I don't often mention people, but when I think about being thankful, I am reminded of Dylan and what he went through. Leukemia, going through all the things he had to go through, and never once hearing one complaint come out of his mouth. Not one time. That is a testimony in itself, and it speaks loudly of somebody's heart towards their God. Now, I'm not saying nobody in here is not thankful, but think about that. Our testimony speaks loud and clear. And I really believe the more thankful we are to God helps us to endure anything God allows in our life, because we know he's faithful. We know, you know what? If he brought me to it, he'll bring me through it. But again, even if God doesn't do anything, he still deserves all our praise. He still deserves us to be thankful because of who he is. And if we have that thankful heart, I believe it will guide us into living our life for him in the center of his will, wherever that may be for each of us. God's will for each of us, where it is we're living, what it is we're doing is different, but the will of being thankful is the same. Let us have thankful hearts every moment of our life, knowing we serve an awesome God who is faithful.